not from, we're from somewhere else. But I think they paid, Andy told me they paid, it was over $100,000. I can't remember how much. It was
They told me too, but I can't remember.
It was quite a bit. But Andy said they're planning on putting a penthouse apartment on the top floor and doing some other stuff. And the thing is, Quincy, you know, a town like Quincy having a penthouse, well, that's pretty cool, but there ain't no nightlife. It ain't like you're going to go down the New York busy, you know, or whatever they do in them places.
Yeah. Making that into a couple $1 million, top's going to be. I mean, it's like, the thing is, if you had that kind of money to buy that, to buy an apartment up there for $1 million or $2 million, would you really want to live there?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would rather live somewhere that looks prettier. You know, look there's nothing to look at. Yeah, the river's over there, but.
Yeah, you can't really do nothing. It's all full of mud.
Of course, you know, we've lived here our whole lives, so to us, it's nothing. Maybe coming in from a big
city.
Yeah. You know, think so. It's beautiful.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Look at the cornfield.
There's a beautiful park we walk over to. Our kids can play in the fountain.
And it ain't full of niggers, you know. It ain't full of homeless. It ain't full of.
But I don't know. I just can't see it myself.
I don't either. But that's what's kind of. Well, Andy said a lot of it is all these rich people from California and New York, and they want to get the hell out of them places because it's getting bad. It's too expensive, and they got plenty of money, so.
We know a lot of people work online. The internet,
mm-hmm.
They can move wherever they want to move.
Right.
You know, I mean, they don't have to live in where their job is.
Right, that's true.
So, you know.
That's true.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, Andy was saying, he's at Yellowstone, and he was looking around for investment things out there and, you know, just kind of feeling out. But he said out there, he said it's the locals out there that he was talking to were all bitching because, out in, where in hell? Well, all around Yellowstone and Idaho. He went to a bunch of different places. But the locals really don't like, they got all these rich people from California come and buying everything. And he said just a little house, a little two or three bedroom house, $200,000. Then he said that, for him, he was looking at, you know, as a builder, and they ain't got no builders out there. He said, you know, for him, if he was younger, and he said, hell, he could make a fortune out there if he could find help to work for him. He said, that's the other problem. There ain't nobody out there. I mean, either everybody's already got a job or they got income. So he said it's hard to find anybody to work. Yeah, I don't either. I'll tell you what, though, this time of year, look at it's so pretty to me. Those flowers are all yellow and all the little other little flowers.
I put them in the newspaper that we had some of the trips coming up and stuff, you know, with trips. They have a New England tour. I'd love to do that. I wish that was not live. But you go from, but it's a 13-day tour and it's a little pricey. But I mean, you know, you go.
Well, New England.
Probably 7 or 8 different places you go, and you spend time in all of them. And I mean, yeah, you go to New England, you go to Cape Cod.
Ooh, those be neat.
Places.
Yeah, big fancy tourist things.
By Canada, and we've already seen the
Niagara.
Yeah,
yes, stuff.
We've already seen that, but I mean, besides the Niagara, that was the day you spent over there seeing all that.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, everything else we hadn't. Scene.
Right.
And I would like to have
done
that. But,
yeah.
It's, you know,
well,
it's not something I'd want to do by myself, and I wouldn't want to spend that kind of money.
Right. Well, I wouldn't mind going, but I don't physically. I'm just afraid I ain't up to shit no more.
Yeah. And the thing is, you're going to be staying over that course. You're going to probably stay in 4 maybe 4 or 5 different hotels.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get up, pack your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
get out to the bus and then
go to the next one, yeah.
Yeah, and then
like I said,
you spend a couple of days there and they take you around and do some mean, yeah, there'd be a lot of.
Yeah, as I said, I'm so damn weak anymore. I just, although well, maybe
I don't even know Blue would even be.
I don't think he, well, lately, I don't think he would have been able to. He was getting, well, he wasn't much faster than me. He was still a little stronger than me, but he sure wasn't much faster anymore. He was, and, I know that was the reason I was kind of wanting to get in out the veterans home. I thought, well, if I could get in out there, if I do get worse, then I'll be right there where they can put me into the. I went out there and walked. I thought Andy had applied for me. And I said, oh, I just wanted to check on my application. I said, I put one in here about a year ago, and I never did hear anything from you. And so the gal looked, she goes, oh, there ain't no application for you. And I said, there ain't. And she said, no. And I said, well, I'd like to get my name on the waiting list. So she gave me a folder. And basically, the main thing is I had to have my doctor put my health condition on there, because that's how they decide where you can live out there. Well, right now, I think I would still qualify as independent living.
And that's what you want.
And that's what I want, that, you know, at least at the beginning. Yeah. And so I took the papers out to the VA place where the doctors are, and I said, hey, I need you to fill these out for me. Or, well, they don't got no doctors there anymore. What they do now, once, they said it might take a week or two to get them filled out. And I said, well, I said, I'll come. Yeah, I said, I'll come back and get it. And then the other papers, they want to know your assets, which I ain't going to tell them. I know, I'll give them one bank account. And
I don't even know if I just give them your Social Security or whatever.
Well,
you know what, there's a record of your, what they can get from the VA.
Yeah. Well, one thing on these papers they give me, it said if you're getting over 70% disability, there's no charge, because it's like $1,400 a month. And, you know, based on your income, and my income would be enough that I'd pay the $1,400. But it said that if you're over 70% disabled, and Brandon says my paper said I was 80%. And I thought, well, if that's what it is, then it said on there, no maintenance fees. So I thought, well, heck, if I could get a room out there for free, and I wouldn't even have to live there right now. I told, well, Brandon wants to move in with me. And the thing is, Brandon has demolished his house so bad, and I hate to turn him loose on mine. Because, on the other hand, my house needs to be thoroughly cleaned.
I know, but and, his house, he's tearing up. He's not cleaning.
Everything. He's got no kitchen.
No, yeah, he's got no.
Yeah, it's still, mine's barely livable. Every, yeah. Yeah, well, I told him, the big house, I said, Brandon, we could go over and start fixing that up. And I can't get him. We could, to me, that would, to me, I thought, well, I could put $10,000
in
to fix.
You should just let him move in there, and then your house would be
okay. Yeah, well. Well, I told him that, but he says, well, it's going to be Andy's house. And I thought, well, yeah, well, maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm sure. Well, Aunt, yeah. Well, I thought about telling Andy, hey, Andy, can we fix that up good enough for me and Brandon just to live there? And then it's still be yours, but,
look, it's getting really dark.
I know.
Like
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I get your application in.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, I'm working on that. That's my, I guess, my big project. The other thing is that stupid cloning corporation. That guy's called me.
When's your doctor's appointment at?
In Iowa, it's August 5th. At 9 o'clock in the goddamn morning. I hate, my God, I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the damn morning. Yeah, he said he would. He said he would. And I think it's going to be a complete waste of time. I want to see a neurologist.
You should have, when you made your point, you should have said, can you make it a little later? I do that a lot. I used to
I didn't make the appointment at all.
Well, once they make the appointment, well, they'd do that with us too. And I'd call back and I'd say, we got an appointment scheduled for such and such time.
Yeah.
Is anyway, then I can make it a little bit later in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they might make it a different day and
yeah,
later.
Yeah.
So they change it for you.
Well, I thought about doing it, but I told Brandon to check into it, but he didn't. And I guess I should do it myself anyway. But so I don't know. God damn it! The thing is, I've seen the neurologists here at Blessings before. What they do, basically, they just look you over, and then if they decide you need more research, then they want you to come back and get an MRI at another date. And then after that, they.
You would think, considering you're going all the way up there, they would kind of have it to where they could do one there. One
yeah.
There and stuff.
Yeah.
A long ways from
yeah, it there. Is.
But, you know, Blessings. A lot of times, I feel like Blessings just makes the reason for you to come back over and over and over.
Oh yeah, yeah, they do. They do. They want to keep you a regular. Well, and like that heart doctor that was going to work on my heart, the Dr. Hammack, they called up wanting to know, you know, get me scheduled. And I said, well, I'm going to put that on hold for now. Then they called back and was saying, well, how long are you going to put it on hold? And I said, well, I don't know yet. I got to see a neurologist. And so then finally the gal said, well, just call us up whenever you want to continue the procedure. I said, okay. I don't know. What I'm almost positive they're going to do is they're going to go in there and they're going to snip that nerve, and then they're going to say, oh, your heart's not beating good enough. We're going to have to put a pacemaker in you. And boom, clickety bam, they've made $100,000 and I got me a new. May not even need. I mean, well, you got to, like Leo, and that makes sense. That nerve they wants to cut, I'm sure it's the same one they cut, and that's the nerve that speeds your heart up. And if your heart doesn't speed up when it needs to, that's what the pacemaker then makes the decisions on speeding your heart up. So if the VA said I needed to get it done, I would. And that was my next thing. I was going
to
tell.
You need to tell them that they want to do it and you want.
Yeah. Well, I told them I wanted a second opinion. I said, well, we don't give second opinions. You know, you have to get rid of that doctor and have. Well, they're the ones who sent me there. The VA did. Well, they sent me there. Well, they basically, you know, the one doctor on TV was talking to me there, asking, you know, when I'd seen the heart doctor. I said, well, you know, it's been a year or two. I don't really see doctors. And she goes, well, you need to see somebody. And she said, well, the VA's got a thing set up now where you can go to private hospitals. Anyway, I said, well, Blessings is more convenient for me if you think their quality's okay. But I should have just said, no, I'm going to see nothing but the. But thing is, for me, that's a long trip. And
yeah, it is. Especially if it's just going to be okay. Look, it's okay. It looks like you're doing okay today.
Yep. And
then Blessings fine.
You're right.
But if you're going to go up there and they want to start
doing
stuff, then I'm.
Yeah.
Someone else too.
Yeah.
Just, and maybe, you know, like I said, maybe they're right. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe it would help you. But maybe they just don't care.
They want to make money.
Maybe you could do it or you could not do it. Let's just go and tell them you need this.
Yeah. Well, I know there's two or three gals in the tavern that go in every week and get dialysis because their kidneys are bad. Well, these are relatively young gals. They're in their 40s. And, you know, I said, well, what happened? Well, their ankles started swollen up, and they had things like that, and they were seeing the doctors, and then they put them on disability, and then. So now they go in every week, and they get dialysis, and I said, well, what happens if you don't get it done? And they said, oh, you know, I always get it done. And I thought, well, you know, I'd be kind of tempted to just not get it done and see how I feel, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's a good steady customer. I mean, until they get a kidney, Blessings is guaranteed, you know, however much money. Yeah. Yeah, and none of them's got one yet that I know of. They're in a tavern there anyway. Oh, I'm a little aggravated there. I left some guns down there at this house. I had it was a military-style assault rifle, and I had a scope on it, and the scope it was hard to get the chute. It wouldn't stay set. I was trying to sight it in at 100 yards, and the damn thing, you'd adjust the adjustments on it, and then it would just skip. It would start shooting somewhere else. I mean, it was still in an area the size of that sign, but it wasn't the accuracy. Anyway, I left it down there, and I left about 100 rounds of ammo with it. And yesterday, Jerry said, yeah. I said, if you ever need your guns, he goes, I got them up in my closet upstairs. He said, I got clothes piled. And he said, well, he said, the kids used your rifle there, shot up your ammo. And I thought, fuck. That was, when I bought that, 100 rounds was, oh, probably around $40. Well, now they ain't got no ammo in the stores for it. And what they do have is $20 a box, a dollar a round. And I'm saying, his boys just shot it up just to be shooting it up. I thought, Jesus Christ, Jerry. And he must have seen the look on my face, because he said they'll replace it. He said, but they ain't got gun cards and they ain't got money. Now I said, yeah, it's going to be kind of hard for them to replace it. So I'm thinking I'll go down and get my guns back. And I really didn't want to keep them at the house. Afraid somebody will break in there and steal them. I got a 9mm pistol. It's a 16 round. It's a police version, combat. It's a nice, and I got a Ruger 22, which is all stainless steel. They're both nice guns, and I paid, at least $600 or $700 for the two of them. I can't remember now what I paid, but I kind of hate to bring them home because, it'd be easier for somebody to walk off with them. I could give them to Andy. Andy's got my other guns. The only problem with that is once I give them to Andy, they're kind of gone. It's
inconvenient.
Yes, yeah. So maybe that's what I'll do. But
you can get them at least there.
Yeah. Well, Jerry's getting. Well, he's planning on going back to work. He came into the bar last night, which I didn't know he was even in town, and. Well, he went back out to the factory there. He had insurance papers he had to fill out. And 2 or 3 weeks from now, his medical leave is all going to be used up. And at Titan, when your medical leave is used up, you either quit or you're fired.
He's
going to use up his vacation days. And he gets about a month, I think. But after that, either he has to go back to work or he's fired. Well, he said he's going to see if he can get the doctors to give him release papers so he can go back to work. And he went in and seen his boss there. He said, well, if I come back, he said, I want to be ready to go. I want my toolbox and I want everything on the cart. If I come back, I want to be ready to go. And his boss laughed and said, all right, yeah, we'll have you all set up. So he's planning on going back to work. So we'll see. He's feeling pretty good last night. Of course, he was pretty boozed up, too. If he keeps just staying home and drinking like he has been, he said he's going to die from alcoholism. Because he said, there's nothing to do down there. So he gets up in the morning and starts drinking a few beers. And then usually by noon, he switches over to whiskey. And then he starts to
feel.
See, the way his routine normally is to go to work and then drink 6 or 7 beers, then go home. And that's his normal routine. And then on the weekends, when I've been down there, we just sit around and bullshit and drink.
Well,
and
he
used to have a nice big garden. I see that. Another pond we went by was like that, yeah. That goes to show the difference in the air temperature, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, somebody's building a big something there. Wow.
Your house?
A barn, I think. It looks like it's going to be one of them steel, like that building up ahead of us there, steel one, is what it looks like. Something like that. Now they're putting up a wooden frame and then they'll put the metal over it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I
He's got a window unit, but he's got all his windows busted out of the house. He's got blankets hanging over the windows he's busted, and he's stupid. I don't know how. I don't know. He's just completely stupid, and I shouldn't say that.
I'd be afraid to tear my house up worse than it is.
Right.
Knowing what he did to his house.
Right. Well, even the big house.
I know.
Well, the big house, that was a nice livable house until Annie moved in. Carol told me, don't let him move in there. And I thought, well, shit. You know, he's my son and he needs a place. And my plan was, I planned on Andy staying there forever. I thought, great. This can be Andy's. He can take, you know, he could start taking care of everything and then that'll free me up to move on. That's what my back of my mind was thinking. But it didn't work out that way at all. Unfortunately. Because Andy, the house wasn't good enough to suit his wife, and so I started remodeling it, but they didn't really have the money to spend that he wanted to spend to remodel it, and he just kind of, well, whatever. He made it a lot worse. And then Brandon stayed there for 2 years, and he tore it up more. Not as much as Andy did, though, but the thing is, he didn't repair any of the things that Andy had. I don't know. Shit. Anyway, if I get a room out to Veterans Home, I got an option. I can just go to my little room out there and get it.
Now you got a lot of clutter and stuff. Will they make you?
Oh yeah, you can't clutter your rooms up too much. They nurses come through and. Yeah, well they used to get mad at me. I was a housekeeper, so it was my job to tell people they had to clean up. Well, there was a couple old guys like me. They had their room packed so full of shit. And I never did tell the nurses. Well, the nurses don't know because they don't go in their rooms. And I know then one day they had a big inspection and then they got all excited about it and was making everybody throw shit away. And the one guy helped him clean his room on top of his cabinets and stuff. There was like a half quarter inch of dirt, I mean dust, settled. So it had been a long time since it had been cleaned. Wow. Right.
As long as they're not getting infested with something.
Right.
If they're bringing in.
Right. They give you quite a bit of leeway. Like the ladies there, a lot of them would leave their doors open so everybody could see their room because they were proud of their room and they had like fancy, because you could see their bed and everything. They'd have like fancy blanket or sheets. Yeah, bedspreads and they'd have, you know, they have pretty fancy little rooms, the girls. Some of them. Most of them, really. Now, the guys, not really, no, you know, L.A. Yeah, shoot. So, anyway, I don't know. The only thing I not like is they worry about you. I mean, if it's 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm still laying in bed, if I don't show up for chow for breakfast, then they make a note of it.
And, if you don't want to go without me practice,
well, if you don't, you don't have to. You don't have to, but if you start never coming down for breakfast, then they think, well, you know, that's, you need to get up and start moving around because it's not healthy, which it ain't. So, I don't know. But then maybe that's what I need. Hell, maybe if I was on some kind of a routine where I had to get up and I keep thinking that at home, too. Basically, the way it is now, I lay in bed until it's time to go to the tavern at night. That's pretty much what I do. Or if I walk around the house, I walk around just the minimum amount to fix me something to eat. And it hurts to move. I'm so unsteady. I realize that the only way I can get better is to make myself walk more, move more. But I don't want to. That's the thing. I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of know what you mean. On the days I'm off work, a lot of times I find now, if I don't make myself get up and go do something, I could just sit there all day and do nothing.
Right.
And, you know, before, you know, we go up there, it's like, what are you doing today? I don't know what you're doing today. I don't want to sit here all day. Let's go do, you know, something.
Yep.
But, you know, I can find that I can just sit there and do nothing all day, and then the day's over and I think,
Right. And you think, well, I've been doing that for a long time now.
It's almost depressing. I mean,
yeah. Like, yeah, another day wasted.
Yeah, you know,
I can always remember that one, one preacher, he's dead now. I can't remember his name. He was a motivational preacher, kind of. It wasn't him. It was somebody kind of like him, though. Hell, this guy here, I used to listen to him sometimes, and I remember one of his speeches or sermons or whatever it was. Yeah, I can't remember. It's been so many years ago.
Billy Graham.
No, it wasn't Billy Graham either. This guy, he was a motivational speaker, maybe like Bill. But anyway, he was sitting there saying that one of the speeches, he was saying, you know, he said, when you're born, he says, you know, God hath given you a certain number of days. And he said, well, you know, assume you live to be, you know, in your 80s. He said, you know, 365 times, yeah, that's how many days you got. So he said, as time goes on, your days diminish, dwindle down. So anyway, he said every day that you have is a precious gem. He said, when you wake up in the morning, he said, you hold that precious gem of the day that you've been given by God, is what he said, by God. Look at it in your hands, shining and sparkling. He goes, at that time he was in his 60s, so he said he had basically 20 years left. I forget how many days it was. And so he said, when I get in the morning, he said, I look at that the gem that the God hath given me, and how am I going to spend it? Well, you know, sometimes I think about that, and I just waste them. I do. I just waste all these precious gems, pretty much. And I'm sure I'll keep on wasting them.
It makes me think, you know.
Well, Leo's, you know.
I had a message from Leo on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, or maybe it was Thursday. Still on my phone. Anyway, and it was in the evening. I think it was Thursday evening, and I think it came home on Friday. Anyway, regardless, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think, if I'd known he had 3 days left, 4 days.
Oh, well.
You don't think?
No, I don't think we'd have done what we did. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do.
I mean, I don't look back on those days and think anything bad happened.
Right.
Like we had an argument or
right.
Right.
Bad. Right.
I mean, I look back at those days, everything on the days was really
what you going?
I would want them to be anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it makes you think, how many days do you have?
Well.
Like you said, you know.
Not many.
How many precious days?
Yeah. Not many.
So,
and, well, and that's the reason.
How I often think that. But, I often think, you know, I wasted today. How many days? What if I only have
10 days left?
Days
yeah.
Left?
And
I wasted it.
Yeah.
I find myself.
Well, you know, if you,
don't know.
You know, if you knew for sure, though, would you spend a day with Carrie, or would you?
You know, I don't know what I would do, but I just think, you know, what I do, what I have sat there and done nothing all day, you know, or what I went out.
Yeah. Well, this motivational speaker, basically, he was telling you to think about every day and maybe plan on it being one of your last days, and yeah, and then so base what you're going to do, you know, don't just sit around and watch TV. You only got 10 days left. Well, I'm going to watch the soap opera. Yeah. But most people would do, I think, or whatever their normal routine is. Yeah, well, and that's the reason I'm going to get the cloning corporation. I would like to have one more option. Although I really think about it, you know, actually hatching out again as a little baby, you'd have to learn everything all over. I mean, and that's hard. You know, when you're a little baby, just to roll over is hard. You know, and you got to learn how to roll over and wave your arms and all that stuff would probably be hard. Look at all the water there. Wow. It looks like it went over the road here.
Wow.
I mean,
my floors aren't wet or anything, but I mean, it, you know, I've been home quite a while. I think I'll be fine because it's not, it's supposed to quit today.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if it did this for 2 or 3 days, then I'd be wondering my floors.
Well, the ground is so dry, it'll soak it up pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know how the corn looked down there, but I noticed with Andy, a lot of these cornfields was starting to need water. You could see the corn was getting kind of, well, you can kind of, well, yeah.
I think it was Thursday night, because I got, came home in the morning, it was so hot, and I didn't water my flowers Wednesday. It got so hot, I didn't even want to water them.
Yeah.
I thought I need to get out there and water them. I went out and watered everything real good. I put up the garden hose, because I cut my grass on Friday, so I watered everything good Thursday and put my hose away. And then Thursday night, I thought, it was so hot out there.
Yeah.
I'm in ringing wet. It takes me a good half hour.
Get cooled down.
45 minutes. No water.
Oh, yeah.
Really, you know, soak, I, when I do it, I try to soak them good so I don't have to do it every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, because you got to move it around all of them. You can't just, if you have one of them big sprinklers, but the thing is, they don't cover enough area.
Couldn't even see the, you know, the whole, the water runs.
Uh-huh. Filter. It was past the
filter top of that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think around 2 o'clock it's
supposed to be over with. I was looking at
it. Oh, on the weather? Yeah.
Or so,
yeah, well, right now it's really pretty light. It's just
I mean, it hasn't been bad. It was like, yes, I mean, it's really warm. It's
I know they were saying one good thing about the rain, and it'll take the smoke out of the air, but it still looks hazy. But
I think it is too.
Yeah.
Last week, one day, I can't remember what day it was, they said that Iowa had a haze warning. So many hours. I can't remember how long it was, but they said it's going to be hard to see. I thought, man, you couldn't hard to imagine it's going to be that kind of warning now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the forest fire, they said it's going all the way across the United States, the smoke.
Well, it seems like they're just every year they get worse, doesn't it?
Well, they are. They are. And they ain't figured out how to stop it. That's the thing. Today they was talking about it. They was saying that, well, there's a lot of fuel in them forests out west, mainly because, you know, for the last 40 years they stopped all the small forest fires. So they said that basically if they had not had any rangers, if the rangers hadn't done anything and just let everything burn like it naturally would have, then there would be a lot less fires right now. So that might be what they start doing. They might just say, no more Smokey the Bear things, you know. Go ahead and let her burn. But now they got houses everywhere, and that's what's making it worse, because, well, whenever those fancy houses burn up, it costs somebody a lot of money, the insurance companies. Then all the insurance companies are all hooked together. So if a bunch of houses burn out there, they raise the rates here in Quincy. Or a hurricane, or because it's not local insurance companies anymore. It used to be just, well, I said back in the 40s and 50s, you had local insurance companies, and it was based on your area, your insurance rates. But like I said, they all got bought up by them five big mega insurance things, and then they've all agreed that they're going to raise their price so much every year, all across the country on everything. So it's got nothing to do with
I tell you, I notice my taxes at the store every year keep getting higher and higher.
Yeah.
And it seemed like this year, I can't remember the amount, but it went up more than it did the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's just gonna get worse too.
Yeah.
They try to build downtown there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Tell you what, I wish my building wasn't so tall.
Yeah.
It's too much to maintain.
Yeah.
All that front. And,
right.
You know,
right.
It doesn't, you know.
Right. Well, of course, when those were built, it was all apartments on the upper two floors, And then I guess the upper three floors were all apartments.
And then, yeah, I know the and then, one, two,
then in the ground floor was a business. And I think yours had a bank in it there. Leo was showing me down in the basement something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, well.
I don't know. They're up on the top floor. I think one of the floors.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of piano parts. Like they worked on pianos up there. Now, how in the hell?
Carrying a piano up there.
You know, someone said that they pulled them in the front window. They had ropes.
Uh huh.
And they, you know, like.
Well, that could be.
And they
could be.
Crinkle them up and then they somehow slide them through. I don't know.
Yeah, they could. Well, back when you had cheap labor, I mean.
You know, back before everything came electronic. Yeah. Work,
yeah. Well, we got me. I seen one picture of the town square there one time, and that was where all the haulers went. And all around the city square were horses and wagons. And in the morning, they all went there and parked. And anybody who, Quincy, who needed stuff moved, you'd go there and pick out somebody that you liked the looks of and their horses and say, hey, I need to get something moved here. And you'd negotiate a price. And then they would provide the labor to, I mean, yeah, that's how it was set up. And this one old guy I was talking to, he said that he made more money than his dad did. He said that they had the telegraph thing there on the city square, and kids got paid to run the telegrams to the businesses. And he said, you didn't know which is going to get paid. You know, he said, you just hung around. And when the telegram come in, it'd say, telegram for doctor or for so-and-so. And then if one of the kids would grab, he said, we used to fight over because... he said, hell, he said, sometimes they give you a quarter. And he said, my God, he said, my dad, that's all my dad made a whole day sometime, a quarter. You know, he said, I'd make more money than my dad. So I don't know. This ain't like that no more. That's the biggest problem Andy says he has. He can't find any help. And, you know, I was telling him, I think racial competition is kind of a good thing. I was telling Andy, I said, you know, if you had the finances to do it, it would be nice if you could get a good, dependable black man to train somebody to have his own crew. But all blacks. I said, you know, you're going to hire this black guy and you're going to teach him how to build houses. And, but I said, well, if you're going to do that, then you also need to train some black plumbers and some black, because they don't have that. They don't do that. And I was thinking back, well, a long time ago, it really broke down into religions a lot of times. The Catholics would always hire Catholic contractors or Catholic plumbers. Or Catholic electricians to do work in their Catholic stores or homes. And the Protestants would hire Protestants to do that. So you had, you know, and it used to get kind of way racially too, to a certain extent. You know, Italians would hire Italians. But anyway, the way it is now, I'm thinking like in Quincy, they don't have any black owned businesses. Nothing. You know, and they should. If you had a black owned business, they would hire black employees. And the black employees would either do a good job.
I think there's surely a black person owns a business in town.
I don't know of any.
You may not know of them.
Well, if they do, they should hire black people. I would. I mean, hell, if I was, you know, I'm white, so I'd hire white people primarily if I could. Well, hell yes. I know how they behave. You know, black people, you know, I don't know how, what do you expect from me? You know, treat me just like you treat a white person. Well, I guess I could. I guess I could. I don't really want to. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, like I said, down the street there from Players, that Izzy's and Izzy's, that's black owned and operated now. And the black people that's running it, they said they don't want no gangsters coming in. You're barred. Anybody comes in with their pants hanging halfway down their ass, get out. They said, you know, they want a nice, respectable bar. And I'm kind of curious to see how it does.
I guess they could have a dress code. I mean, that could be part of their dress code. I mean, because, you know, some places say you have to have a shirt and shoes to come in.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they could say,
yeah, put your pants up or get the hell out of here. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say.
If you put a sign on the door.
Well, you wouldn't have to do that.
I know,
don't.
I'm just saying, if you put it on the door, then someone can't come in and say, you're just saying that because I'm black.
Right.
Or you're saying that because you don't want me in here.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a sign on the door. It's on the door when they come in and they don't like it. Say, I don't know, maybe you didn't see the sign on the door, but you need to get your pants pulled up or you'll have to leave. That way it's not as confronting them. As, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always... See, my whole life, I've always noticed that, you know, any people are racist. They've always been racist. And I don't know if you call them black racist or not, but whatever, especially in taverns. In Quincy here, any tavern that starts to get too many black people, all the white people quit coming in. And that's just,
I think that's true, but I think it's just because they know that it's just end up being trouble.
Well, you know, yeah.
So they don't want the trouble.
Right.
So they just think, well, you get too many blacks, are going to start having fights and then whatever, and I'm just looking at nothing different.
Right. But, you know, as far as taverns go, they kind of split up themselves. I mean, the customers decide what kind of clients are going to have, in a way, of the taverns.
Yeah.
I mean...
And then what happens is different kinds come in, and the one that bring the most in is what goes to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might get blacks, you might get whites, you might get rich white people.
Right.
You might just get the poor, bummy people.
Right.
Whatever brings the most in, I think that's what tends to stay.
Yeah. Well, see, like the Fifth Street bars down there, it used to be they had low-income whites. All the whites didn't have much. They'd go down there and buy cheap beer if they could and spend a day in the bar there. But that's all broke down. All the Fifth Street bars, the white people, they all, you know, this virus stuff, I was watching that on the news. I tell you what, I'm starting to really get worried about it again. Well, they said that people who have been vaccinated, they had an 80-year-old who died. He had the everything.
People that have been vaccinated are not getting it as much, but some of them are still getting it.
Yeah, and they're still dying.
Cases. Yeah, on breakthrough cases.
And I thought, shit, you know. Well, and the thing is...
Masks coming back everywhere.
Oh, well, and the thing is, this is pretty early in the game yet. Because those viruses will keep... As long as they're alive, they're going to try to stay alive. And so they'll jump to dogs and cats. And then, you know, if they can, they'll jump back to... whatever's around them, and if it starts going between humans and pets, that'll be quite a...
Well, yeah, that's...
I don't know how you'd have to make a vaccine against, because it's the same virus, but it's modified itself, you know, to the way it is now, cats and dogs get it. If you have it and you sneeze on a cat or a dog, then they got it. But in them, it's just, you know, their body gets it. Your body makes antibodies against it, then
they might get sick, but they don't transfer.
Not back, usually. But as time goes on, there's a bigger and bigger possibility of that happening. I don't know. It's just
that's scary still.
It is scary, and I don't know.
Everything just seems so
out of kilter.
About anything anymore.
No. That's the reason I just want to get cloned. Hey, just get set up to get cloned and put everything on hold.
Yeah. Out, Brian.
You know, are you going to go in?
I don't know. If you're getting out, go ahead and go now.
I might go get a glass of ice.
Okay, go ahead.
Oops. 20 to warning. I imagine it's just as bad.
park too close?
Oh, no, 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 I'm just so slow. I just can't hardly go.
You know, the thing is, everyone sees here goes, I think it's a test.
Hey, I'm going to turn this off. This is just a recording for my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, possible clones. I'm going to an auction here in, I'm sure the name of this town, I think it's Rutledge. That don't sound right. Anyway, it's a town here in Missouri. And I don't know if you want to eavesdrop on an auction. I don't know where you live. If you ever go to auctions, they're kind of fun to go to. This one here, my God, at the end of the auction, they have so much stuff left that nobody wants. They just give it away for free. You can load up a whole truckload of stuff that people don't even want to buy. It's just household knickknacks, things. And there's some people that's got thrift stores. The black people, they come in and they take all of them to resell in their thrift stores. But even they get so much stuff that they don't want to take. Don't want to take it. So anyway, this is just a, I'm just going to turn this thing off. So thank you for listening. Adios, amigos. If you're my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, possible clones, I want to get the Kaylee Cloning Corporation up and running. I got my, hopefully, my older son, I told him I want to get it done, and I got him in contact with people who might be able to make it happen. And I told him I'll put up to $100,000 into it, although I don't want to. But I need another chance. So, adios.